بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. About 3 weeks ago, we had a special youth session where we asked basically the youth to give us their input. So among the very good comments that came back is we would like to have something which is basic about the principles of our religion, and we'll build on that. And I've received requests to talk about the basics of this religion, build on them such that we can, inshallah, develop our knowledge of Islam in general. So we decided to do that. These sessions, I call them, if you saw the email, Islam 101. Basically the introductory lesson into Islam. General. We will start with the generals, basic. So sometimes for some of you it may be very basic. However, within every lecture we'll start very basic, but then we'll build up towards the end of it, and I'll throw a term or two at you that might twist your minds around, but that's fine. This is the whole idea, that you build your knowledge up to that level. And then we'll move on, inshallah. So today, inshallah, we'll be talking about the fundamentals of the religion. It is good to learn these fundamentals, because a lot of people, when they ask you, you're Muslim, what do you believe in? What is your belief as a Muslim? So it's good to have some background information to give the general idea. This is what we believe in as Muslims. Okay? In Islam, we have what we call as usul al-din, and we have furu' al-din. Usul al-din in English could be called as the roots of the religion. They're the essence, the foundation. When you want to build a building, the first thing you find, the people who are doing the construction, what do they do? The first thing when they start building is build what? Do they start from the foundation, or do they start from the 20th floor and then go down? It's usually what? The foundation. And if you've seen, I don't know, mashallah, nowadays we have so much construction going on in Vancouver. If you see the foundation, if they make it so strong, concrete foundation, very strong foundation. Now, given the amount of rain we have, they better do it this way, otherwise all the buildings will collapse, mashallah. But you could think about it. They're building a 20-story building. The main thing they look into and they concentrate all their efforts at is the foundation. Make it very strong. And then you can build on this foundation and raise it up to 20 levels. Well, in Islam, we have the same idea, same principles. The foundation, the concrete, are called usuluddin, the roots of the religion, the foundation. And the stories of the buildings are 10, furu'uddin. They're 10, the branches of the religion. The roots of the religion, the foundations, are five things. Five things are essentials. What do you mean by these things? These five things, every Muslim must believe in those three of them. Three out of five, every Muslim has to believe in those to be considered a Muslim. You have to. That's your foundation. The other two, you have to believe in them to be a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. If you would like to be a follower of Ahlul Bayt, to follow what the teachings of the Prophet, the teachings of Imam Ali and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein and so on and so forth, the Imams, the 12 Imams, we have to believe in the other two as well. So these are the five roots of the religion. And then, after believing in these five essential things, you build on towards the 10. What did we say? Furu'uddin, ahsantum. which is what in English, what did I call them? The branches. Yeah, story. Stories, branches. Generally, it's described as branches. Well done. Okay? The five usul al-din, do you know what they are? What is it? What's the first one? That's one of them. One of them. And what is that called? This is called nubuwwah, prophethood. Nubuwwah, to believe not just Muhammad, to believe in all prophets from Adam alayhi salam up to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them. You have to believe in all of them. We have reports there were about 124,000 prophets that Allah had sent. So you have to believe in all prophets. The first one of them, however, this is number two actually. Number one, which is the topic for tonight, is what? Tawheed, ahsantum. Tawheed. And I'll talk about tawheed. Monotheism. What do we mean by monotheism? One God. This is in very basic, simple terms. That's what we mean. The third one, we said the second one was prophethood, nubuwwah. The third one, to believe in as a Muslim. You must believe in it. What is it? Do you know what it is? What do we believe is going to happen at the end of the world? What's going to happen? We're going to go to resurrection or judgment day. Ma'ad. Resurrection. It's called Ma'ad. We're going to be resurrected again, day of judgment. So as a Muslim, to be a Muslim, if they ask you, what does it take to be a Muslim? Tell them we have to believe in these three things. We must believe in monotheism, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed. We must believe in prophethood, which is all prophets from Adam up to Prophet Muhammad. And we must believe in the day of judgment, resurrection. One day when I was giving a sermon to a bunch of church students, Catholic students, and I told them we believe in all prophets. One of the students raised his hand and he said, I did not know that Muslims believe in all prophets. He was in grade 8, so this is really good. Even though he's young, but it's pretty good. He said, I never knew. I thought you only have one prophet, Prophet Muhammad, and that's it. So a lot of people don't know. So make sure you spread, when you say nubuwwah, prophethood, it's not just believing in Prophet Muhammad. We believe in all prophets. And he in fact asked me, he said, do you have any holy men in your religion that you follow? I told him, yes. I told him, we follow Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. He's a holy man in our religion. The Quran talks about him. We follow Abraham. The Quran talks about Abraham. We follow Prophet Muhammad. We follow Moses. The Quran talks about Moses. We follow all these prophets. So he was really, I told him, yes, we follow all these holy men. These are all in our books, in our religion. In fact, about 2 months ago, I was invited at a church to speak about the birthday of Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, his birth, according to the Quran. Because the Quran talks about the birth of Jesus in very detailed, very well described, the birth of Isa alayhi salam. How was he born? So I spoke about it, and people came to me afterwards in the church, and they said, we never knew that the Quran talks about his birth in so much details. In fact, he said, most of what you narrated is identical to what we have in the Bible. So it was something very surprising for them. So a lot of people don't know this, so it's good to know the basics. And then the last two things to believe in, to be a follower of Ahlul Bayt. So all Muslims believe in these three things. To be a follower of Ahlul Bayt, you need to believe in two more things. And those two are, one of them is imamah. There are imams, which means divine successors chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet. After he dies, these are divine successors. The first one of them was who? Imam, the Prophet's cousin. The first one. Louder. Don't hesitate. Who was the first one? The Prophet's cousin. What was his name? Imam Ali, Ahsan. This was the first one of them. And who is the last one? The one whom we believe is still alive until today. Imam al-Mahdi, Ahsant, mashallah, mashallah. Okay, so there are 12 imams. We must believe in those imams as divine individuals chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing we must believe in is something called adalah, justice, which means that God is just. In each and every aspect of life, God is just. So we must believe in these five things. Today we'll start with Tawheed, and with this introduction I will go back to what we do normally, is recite a few verses from the Holy Quran, which will discuss few issues about Tawheed. The verses that I have chosen are the last three verses of Surah Al-Hashr. Surah Al-Hashr, which is Surah number 59. And the verses are 22, 23, and 24. And then I will recite also Surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, which is Surah Al-Tawheed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله هو الله الذي لا عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس هو الله الذي لا السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم
الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
The translation of the last three verses of Surah number 59, Al-Hashr, says the following: He is Allah or God. There is no God except Him. Knower of the sensible and the unseen. He is the all-beneficent, the all-merciful. He is God. There is no God except Him, the sovereign, the all-holy, the benign, the securer, the conserver, the almighty, the all-compeller, the all-magnanimous. Clear is God of any partners that they may ascribe to Him. He is God, the Creator, the Maker, the Former. To Him belong the best names. Whatever there is in the heavens glorifies Him, and whatever there is in the earth. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. And the last, or Surah Al-Ikhlas or Tawheed, is translated as follows: In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, say, He is God, the One. God is the all-embracing. He neither begat nor was begotten, nor He has any equal. That second chapter is known as Surah Al-Ikhlas, or the chapter of Tawheed, Surah Al-Tawheed, which is monotheism. Again, a very basic term. What do we mean by monotheism? Yes, we have two things. One is we must believe in God, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one important thing of monotheism, that you have to believe in Him. You have to recognize Him. Upon believing in Him, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He exists indeed, then we also have to believe that He is one. Tawheed means one. Allah says in this surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Say, Allah is the one. There's only one God. And then Allah says, He is Allah as-Samad. Samad is a very beautiful word. It says that He is needless. He does not need anybody. All-embracing. There are many translations for this word. It means the one who does not count on any help from anybody. Needless. He does not need anybody. You need somebody else to help you out. You may say, no, I'm all strong. I don't need anybody. Not true. Do you use computers? If you say yes, did you make the computer yourself? No, you didn't. You had to have somebody else to make your computer for you. You had to have somebody build your house for you. Somebody else to make the other things you use in life for you. You need people. And for these, to achieve these, you pay for them. You actually use your money to pay, for example, for your house, your computer, your car, etc., etc. So you are needful of other people. You cannot survive on your own having all these necessities. To have all these necessities, you are dependent. In a society, we're dependent on one another. Allah says, I am independent. I don't need anybody. Allahu Samad. He does not need any help, any supporter. لم يلد ولم يولد. He was not given birth to. You know, they did not, no one gave birth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that humans are. Nor did He give birth to anyone else. This is kind of to answer the question that, does Allah have any sons or any children that walk on earth? Allah is trying to say no. he does not have any children. Some faiths may say that he's got a son, he's got a child, he is the son of God. Allah says no, it doesn't work that way. Even when it comes to Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, a very revered prophet indeed. The Quran speaks about him and glorifies Isa alayhi salam a lot. Yet when it comes to the concept of him being the son of God, according to the Quran, Allah says the similitude of Isa is like that of Adam. Similarly, I mean, if Jesus is to be attributed as the son of God because he had no father, well then Adam did not have neither a father nor a mother. He was created, according to the Quran, from sand. He created him min turab, sand. Similarly, Jesus was also created from sand. So this to refute this argument. So in this verse, Allah is refuting this argument of having children. Finally, there is no one who is equal to him. In other words, there are no two gods, let's say, two entities. You cannot have this. God says if there were more than one God, لَفَسَدَتَا. It means there would be so much corruption. And it's impossible, logically speaking, to have two gods. And I'll come to that argument as well, towards the end. Among the things to believe in monotheism, tawheed, again, you cannot characterize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a shape or a form. You cannot do that. He is not an entity, a physical entity. You see some cartoons, for example, where when it comes to God, they would draw a big figure or something, an old person. In some cartoons, or even sometimes in some movies, they come up with these figures to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not acceptable in Islam. Because Allah cannot be made into a figure. Because if you think about it, God is everywhere at all times. He is not, for example, here in North America, and he is absent from, let's say, Africa or Asia and Europe. Doesn't work. He's everywhere at the same time. It's not like God is in the heavens and he's not on the earth, or vice versa. He's in the earth and he's not in the heavens. That we don't accept. God is everywhere at the same time, which is a difficult concept to comprehend for us humans, because we are physical entities. We're used to being physical. You know, I'm a human. I'm a physical being. And anything physical cannot be in two places at the same time. It's impossible. Anything that's physical. I'm either here or I'm somewhere else. I can't be in two places at exactly the same time. Even with the recent more advanced scientific discoveries, where even when you go to small matters like electrons, which move at very accelerated speeds, even then, they can exist in more than one place at a given time. They're in one particular place. So even anything that is physical exists in one place. So to think that God is somewhere up or down, or we make him into a figure, it is not acceptable. This is not tawheed. So among the conditions of tawheed is that you believe that he is everywhere. What else? He is got all the good attributes. All the good attributes belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the ultimate source of good attributes. For example, wisdom. He is the ultimate wise. When it comes to mercy, he is the most merciful. When it comes to knowledge, he is the knowledgeable, the all-knowing. The Quran sometimes say, As-Sami', the all-hearing. He is the source. Al-Basir, the one who is all-seeing. He watches everything. Nothing goes by him. Allah talks in the Quran, describes himself. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. He does not snooze, nor does he sleep. In other words, sometimes when you drive and you speed, you say, maybe the cop will not catch me. No. And maybe indeed, maybe the cop does not catch you. Maybe you drive next to the cop, and he may be busy with something that he does not see you. And you can get away from it. With Allah, it doesn't work that way. No. His camera is working 24/7. MashaAllah. You know this radar? It's working 24/7, and it captures all your pictures, everything. So he has got all the good attributes, the wise, al-hakim, al-aziz. The verses we recited just now from Surah Al-Hashr, so many names of Allah. Al-Khaliq, the one who is the creator, the source of creation, and so on and so forth. It is said that one day a king came and told his ministers, he gathered all the ministers. He said, ministers, he said, yes. He said, I would like you to arrange for a meeting between myself and who? And God. They said, what? You're serious? He said, yes, I want to meet God. He said, okay. He said, and you know what? I have to meet him, or else if I don't meet him, all of you are going to die. Arrange for a meeting. Then those people came, and the ministers, they said, okay, well, you know, this is not a simple person. This is God you want to meet. So it will take time to arrange a meeting between you and God. You know, so can you give us a month to arrange for this meeting? He said, okay, I'll give you 1 month. You arrange for the meeting or else you're all dead. He said, okay. So they all go away. All these ministers, they gather together. They say, what are we going to do? How is he going to see God? He must have gone crazy. So they think. They can't come up with any idea. So finally, 29 days go by. Tomorrow is the end of the month. Khalas. So they said, you know what, everybody? Let's just take a walk in the farm of the castle, you know, the mansion, the big mansion of the king, where they use, that's where they go to work every day. They said, let's just walk. So they take a walk in the mansion of the castle, in the garden of the castle. They walk, and then the farmer who's farming the land, he works with the king. He looks at all these ministers, you know, well-dressed, high-profile figures. They're all walking so sad, so pale. He looked at them, he said, what's the matter? What's wrong? Why do you guys look so sad? He said, you know what, just leave us alone, please, just leave us. He said, no, please, why do you feel so sad? You know, I'm having a great day today. What's the matter? He said, well, you know what? We're all gonna die tomorrow. What? All gonna die? All of you? He said, yes, all of us. What's the matter? He said, well, this king wants to meet Lord. He wants to meet God. And we promised him after 1 month we'll arrange for a meeting. If we don't do it, we're all dead tomorrow. And we haven't done. How can we do this? He said, that's something easy. He said, what? He said, it's easy. He said, tomorrow I'll come with you. I'll make him meet God. He said, you must be kidding. He said, no, let's go tomorrow. They looked at each other's eyes. They said, you know what? We've got nothing to lose. We're all dead anyways. So might as well, he can come and join us. So that in, you know, when we're in the grave, we can all have a party together, you know, mashallah. They said, okay. So the next day, the king comes out dressed in his best clothing. He's there to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ministers come. And he said, so, you guys asked me for a whole month. Here is the month. Where is Allah? Where can I meet him? They told him, well, this farmer will show you the way. So the farmer says, yes, my lord, come with me. Let's go to the balcony of the castle. So they go to the balcony of the castle. This farmer looks at the sun. He says to the king, he says, king, keep your eyes on the sun for 5 minutes. Don't move it and do not blink for 5 minutes. And then you'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll see God afterwards. He said, you must be kidding. He said, no, I'm serious. Keep your eyes on the sun for 5 minutes. Do not blink and you'll see him. So the king tries for like 2 seconds and then, you know, looking at the sun. He tries a second time and then he doesn't. Third time, fourth time. King says to this farmer, you're crazy. It's impossible to look at the sun for 5 minutes and stare at it. You're crazy. So then the farmer tells him, you think I'm the one who's crazy? You think if you cannot even look at the sun, which is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a creation of God. How do you expect that you're going to see God Himself? If you can't even see a creation of His. So then the king woke up. He's like, okay, I understand. What is the situation? In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen with the naked eye. In fact, He cannot be seen, period. And that's what the Quran says. The Quran says, it's impossible to see Him. لا تدركه الأبصار. The eyes do not see God subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even on the day of judgment, we will not be able to see Allah. Because seeing something means He or she or it is physical. It's a physical being. And the minute it becomes physical, it means it's limited. And God is unlimited. Therefore, it can't be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So among these issues or concepts of Tawheed is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in Him. Two, we believe that He is one entity and He is the creator of this heaven and the earth. So now, this brings another question which is commonly heard about. And a lot of you people study about it when you're in your schools or universities. And that's the idea of evolution. We'll come to that, inshallah, next week. Next week, we will address the story of evolution. What is the whole idea? Of course, generally speaking, we will not be able to have, you know, because that thing is taught by scientists for, like, mashallah, they study it and they teach it. You can take a whole course, semester long, at the university teaching you about evolution. So we'll simplify it very briefly. Next week, we will talk about the theory itself very briefly. And then we'll talk about what do scientists think about the theory itself. Okay, so next week, inshallah, that will be the idea. But for now, we believe that everything that came into existence must have been made. For example, here's my pen. Here's a pen. I'm holding a pen in my hand right now. I say, how did this pen get to me? Well, I went to the store and I purchased it. Well, where did this pen come from? It must have been, came from what? It must have come from a factory. A factory that came up with this pen. Now, you ask the next question, well, who built that factory? The human being. The human being built the factory. Where did the human come from? And so on and so forth. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being. Okay. Now, if you think about all those things, the pen is not going to last forever. This pen itself, it's going to decompose one day sooner or later. You know, it's not going to last forever. It's not eternal. This is not infinite. It's a finite thing. It's a finite object. The factory is a finite object. An earthquake, God forbid, can come and destroys the entire factory. Or the humans can destroy the factory. For example, they want to build something else instead of it. So the factory is not going to be eternal. The human who built the factory, he or she, is not eternal either. One day, sooner or later, they will die as well. Then we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of this human. That's when the chain stops. When this chain stops, we say God is the cause for all causes. Because the cause for this pen to exist was what? The factory. The cause for the factory to exist was what? The human. The cause for the human to exist is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is called wajibul wujud. That's the term. Wajibul wujud. When something is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and He is the cause, musabbibul asbab. He is the one who creates the causes. That's why to ask, when did Allah exist? The matter of when or where does Allah sit or where can He be found? These questions do not apply to God. Because the matter of time is created by God. God created time. So He existed before time. And when time is going to come to an end, He is going to exist even after time. That's why he does not have a time frame. Because time is a creation of God. Some people say, oh, we had the Big Bang. That's where the universe, let's say the beginning of time. The Big Bang theory that some of you may have heard about in your studies. That explosion. Well, we all know that explosion needs energy. Where did that energy come from? It had to be something that's infinite, giving the energy to something that's finite. Even the world is a finite entity. Scientists today, if you go do some research, they say that, you know, the world, this earth, and in fact the galaxy is not going to last forever. According to astronomy and people who've done some calculations, they say that there is going to be an end. Something is going to happen, an explosion is going to happen, which will destroy. Basically, this earth is going to be gone away. So it's finite. The only thing that's infinite is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how we prove that there is indeed one, there is indeed a God. Now, some people ask the question, how do we know there is only one God? Why couldn't there be like two, three, four gods? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this question in Surah Al-Anbiya, the prophets. In verse number 22 of this surah, God says the following, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. If there were in it, or in them, heavens and the earth, let's say, gods other than Allah, God, the one God, then there would have been corruption. You could think about it for a second. When we take a look at this universe and the beauty in its creation and the coherency and the consistency in its creation, we can ultimately deduce that indeed the Creator is only one. Because it's so perfect. I mean, for example, you find scientists on Earth launching rockets to go into space. There are no humans in these rockets, they're just robots. And they can calculate exactly if they go in this direction, for example, they'll hit Mars, and so time. And they actually can make the robot land on Mars at a specific location where they wanted it to land. And then they can navigate the whole place. Because it tells you that this universe is so well designed, so well articulated, that the source of its creator must be one God. Otherwise, if there were more than one God, each one would have said, oh, I like it to be done this way. And the other one would have said, no, I like it to be done that way. And there would have been just chaos. You'd find people created differently. You find planets and things not being so perfect the way they are. It's, for example, if we ask 10 writers to write one book, each one of them contributes a little bit. Once they all submit this one book, you can find maybe there are maybe some contradictions between one and the other. There are some differences between the two or three or five, and if it's like a major book where each one is, let's say, writing 100 pages about the same topic, you might find some discrepancies between the first author and the second author, the second and the fifth author, for example. Where some discrepancies can show up telling us that the author of this book could not have been just one person. Many people have contributed. Whereas to the universe and its perfection, so well articulated that it must be just one creator. That's why Yuri Gagarin, who was the first person to go into space, he says in his diaries, he says, when I left to space, I was an atheist. I was not a believer. He said, however, once I got to space, I looked at this beauty of the stars. I looked at Earth from the stars, from the space. I looked at this beauty of this galaxy. I came back to Earth as a monotheist, believing that this universe must have had a creator that made it so well and so perfect the way it is. So my dear brothers and sisters, God Himself states explicitly that there are no other gods in this universe but Him, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the source of all greatness, of all goodness. All the good attributes belong to Him and only Him. No one else shares these attributes with Him, the ultimate attributes. He is the only one who is independent. Everything in this creation is dependent on Him, on God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There can't be two gods, because then there will be independence. There will be chaos. One will be stronger than the other. One will be weaker than the other, less knowledgeable than the other. You cannot have them being identical, exactly 100% the same, because then it will be the same. It's one. They can't be the same. So if there's any differences, then there will be chaos in their creation. There will be weakness. And God Almighty is glorified from any weakness, from any vagueness. He is perfect, complete. So, what is basically the idea in here, the summary? In Islam, we believe the Tawheed, we believe in five things, in five principles, the roots of the religion. The first one of these tenets and rules is Tawheed, which basically is monotheism, and that means believing in God and believing that He is one God, admitting to Him being the creator of the heavens and the earth. Wajibul wujud. He is the cause of all causes. All causes go back to Him. Each thing in this universe has a cause, but He is the originator of the causes. That is the meaning of wajibul wujud. And He's got all the good attributes. No negative attributes are attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only the positive ones. Glorified be Him from the negative attributes, such as ignorance, such as oppression. All these negative attributes do not belong to God. God only has the positive attributes. It is the human being who, because God gave him the free will, can abuse his power because he has desires. And that's some other topic. We will not get into it at this point. But glorified be God from any bad attributes or from any negatives. Believing in this is the essence of Tawheed, my dear brothers and sisters. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are true believers, who have the true Tawheed. Because the more we can look into this world, understanding His greatness and His existence, the more in faith we can grow. Imam Ali alayhi salam was asked, have you seen your God? You believe in God so much. Have you seen Him with your naked eyes? He said, I have not seen Him with the naked eyes. My God cannot be seen with the naked eyes, but I have seen Him with my heart. Everything I look around me, I see God within it. I see God before it. The plants, look how great the plants are. It's a kingdom that is so diverse and great, praising and showing the sign that there is a God. The mountains, the universe, the human being, God says, within yourselves are signs for those who can reflect and think a little bit. Everything that exists in this universe is a sign of God's creation and God's greatness. And we pray to God to make us among those who can achieve the ultimate faith through logic and deduction. Those who are wise, those who are knowledgeable, those who can stand for their religion. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, next week we will discuss about evolution, again, briefly, and that will conclude our session for today. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.